Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 792, Infinite Takes Flight, recorded live on July 29th, 2021. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And I'm Hossost.
And we are here without a camera for GT because his computer is deciding to be cranky and not give him all the USB resources that he needs, since he's done it 100 times before. But we are patiently, or impatiently for some of us, waiting for the Infinite Flight to drop. We got the announcement earlier this week that this weekend is the weekend that we get to finally get our hands on some Halo Infinite multiplayer. It's been so long that we've gotten anything like this. It's going to be so nice to play. Gentlemen, how are you guys as eagerly anticipating playing this weekend as we all hope to be once we actually get access to this thing?
Oh, definitely.
I am done watching and I am ready to play.
Yeah, ready to get hands-on, finally. It's been about a little over a month since the Xbox showcase. It's been a quiet month, too, until this week. Just not a lot of happening. So we finally get to get our hands on, as long as the bills actually get pushed out. Right now, Sketch put out a tweet about 3 hours ago saying that the server bills had to get rebuilt, verified and redeployed because there are some issues that they found on deployment, which sucks. But this is a technical preview, so this isn't the same as a beta as what we've been used to before. This seems to be a lot more of a behind the scenes dev type of thing, which in a way I'm at least kind of happy they're being a little transparent with, like, being able to put out a build that has all these issues that's not meant to be, like, super polished and what the game is actually going to be. And hopefully they don't get completely railed from the community for some of the technical issues that they've outlined in the blog that they posted yesterday along with their live stream. But it's the Halo community. I'm sure people will be complaining at some point that something happened and they probably just didn't read. So anyways.
The Halo first community complain?
I know, right?
Jeez,
moderating the Twitch chat and the YouTube chat yesterday was a pain. Such a pain. Yeah. So, anyways. So, let's talk about the stream that we saw yesterday. First impressions of what we got to see. Haas, go.
First things first. Game looks familiar, which I think is important for Halo because it feels like they've kind of scaled back into the identity of the core Halo gameplay experience. At the same time, I'm like, man, where's the flash? Where's the glitz and glamour? But maybe right now that's not what they're trying to showcase. So I'm trying to keep that kind of suppressed until we really know what is coming at the full launch. But I think the gameplay looks sound. The gameplay loop looks interesting. The maps, I'm not completely sold on. The quality of life stuff, seeing it kind of fleshed out pretty well in the video from the firing range and also the battle pass system, the customization. We're starting to see that vision, and I'm liking the direction overall. So those are my quick notes, first impressions.
All right. Cool. GT, first impressions.
Mouth agape. I was very impressed, especially when I got to see what the game looked like on OG Xbox One versus the Series X gameplay. Mm-hmm. You could definitely tell there's a frame rate difference, but it looked really good playing on an Xbox One. And I am glad that they put the time in on it. Yeah.
Do you think that was the One X, or do you think that was like a legit
They said it was an Xbox One. They didn't say One X.
Yeah, I was kind of curious if they were kind of like dancing around that a little bit, but
I'm thinking it was probably, I think they would have said like an Xbox One X or S if it was actually, so like they're probably showcasing that, yes, this can play on the OG Xbox One.
Yeah, would be which I guess. Think is really important, especially after what we just saw with Cyberpunk. I know I've even tweeted that, like that was a major thing people have concerns about now, is what are these cross-gen games going to look like on the old hardware and how are they going to run? Mm-hmm. And so I was glad they kind of just, that was the first thing they shown for yesterday's preview for the multiplayer.
Yeah.
I think that was really important.
Yes, it was definitely important, especially seeing all the flack they've taken about developing for the Xbox One and how it has delayed the game a year and all that crap.
And it is like holding it back.
Yeah.
Performance wise.
They're full of it. But anyway.
And clearly it's not.
It's a fair concern after what we kind of saw with Destiny. Because that was a big thing with Bungie. As they said, the old game on the old hardware was, you know, restricting. But.
Well, you have to also look. Yes, it was. Being a guy that played Destiny on the original 360s, and I do mean original, like a Halo 3 360.
Yep.
It was limiting because of the way the game was designed to begin with. The core of the game was not the engine that Bungie used for the game was not capable enough to scale properly. Also, there is a lot of information that they have to store locally for the game. Like anytime you open a menu, it has to load everything that's in the menu, which was 500 different items or 400 different items. The difference between that and Halo, in comparison, is a much more streamlined game when it comes to stuff that it needs to display or that it needs to keep track of on system memory while you're playing the game. You know, that was the big downside to Destiny on the 360. And, you know, Bungie even stated it, you know, one of the earliest problems that they had was vault space. And the problem with vault space is the 360s just didn't have enough memory to load everything in the vault. Where in Halo, I don't see that being a problem, seeing that we have a very curated set of weapons. We don't have, you know, random rolls on the weapons. You know, all the weapons are identical. No matter, you know, who's carrying it, it's the same weapon.
Sure. Yeah, there's not that loot. Like the
well, it's myriad not a looter shooter
weapon. Yeah, there's not the myriad of weapons.
It's a very curated set of rules that you play by.
Yeah,
and that's what makes Halo Halo, in my opinion. It's the fair starts. It's the on map pickups, the maps themselves. It's not necessarily just the equipment or the abilities or the, you know, the different armor pickups, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The core of the game for Halo is that fair starts. And with Halo 4, that's one of the problems I had with it. I never liked the loadout thing. I didn't like it in Reach either. You know, because
it'll be nice to have, I mean, Halo 5 didn't really have the loadout thing except for Warzone. So like all the arena stuff didn't have that either.
Yeah. Well, Warzone was a little different, and it was a different type of game.
Yeah, certainly.
They just basically what they did is they just handled power weapons differently in Warzone. Instead of being an on-map pickup, it's something that cost you something to call in. You know, it wasn't just a free pickup on the map unless you happen to kill somebody that dropped it. And it wasn't set on a timer, because you had a very variety of tasks that you needed to do while, you know, playing Warzone. You know, you had vehicles you had to deal with, PV, you know, vehicles that are controlled by other players and vehicles that are controlled by AI. You have the, you know, high health AI coming in that require the extra firepower of something that, you know, of a rocket launcher or a sniper rifle or something like that.
Yeah. So, and another point too, that we've kind of made comments to before, is that games can be tailored to different kinds of hardware. Like, you, like, games are designed in such a way these days where you could have lower quality textures render into the engine on hardware that a little bit lower grade. And the fact that Halo Infinite's engine on the Slipspace engine is just about rebuilt from the ground up. There's still some of like legacy Halo engine in there to keep that Halo feel, but for the most part, it's a new engine. So any kind of optimizations they can put into the game that will make it run smoothly across all generations of Xbox and then a wide range of hardware gives more access to more players to actually play it. Like, the whole argument for, like, the whole concern about cross-gen, especially with examples like Destiny, I get where a little bit of the uneasiness comes in from the community, but video games on PC have done that for a very long time. And when you have a PC-centric focus for Halo Infinite, like they've had, and it's not just only Xbox now, they're able to do that. And it clearly looked like, I honestly didn't even think about the first part being only Xbox One original gameplay until you and Haas mentioned it as we were getting the stream set up. I was like, oh, it didn't even dawn on me that it was. And I think if we had seen Xbox One or Xbox Series X gameplay or PC gameplay before and then went over to the Xbox One original gameplay, I may have noticed. But the fact that they showed it first and that it didn't really throw me off guard, I think that's a testament to actually how decent it runs on the original Xbox. And that's just less barrier to entry for more people to get on and experience this game. And thanks, Rage, for 9 months on Tier 1. Welcome to the stream.
Woo-hoo! I mean, just keep in mind, you know, when you think about this, look at a game and look at it, what they recommend as the minimum spec. Is that what you play at? No, because most gamers have a gaming rig that will, you know, smoke minimum spec. But I mean, you know, I've played against people Destiny on PC. They're still rocking 7 series cards playing Destiny.
Yeah.
7 series, 9 series. I play on a 10 series.
And I bet for Infinite, we'll probably have a split rating. We'll probably have a teen rating for multiplayer and possibly an M rating for the campaign side of things.
I don't think they will. I think they'll go 10. I still think they'll be teen for campaign as well.
Maybe. Time will tell.
I'm not expecting an M for mature game again.
Because, you know, if we were going to have an M rating for campaign, what's up with the weapon?
And just to clarify, some people are beginning to install the flight now.
You are? Cool.
Not me. I'm noticing it on my timeline and some of my Discord.
People are saying that you can.
They're starting to get it out there then.
Yes, sir.
Have they still got the message?
One on Xbox, and then Minolta is installing on Steam right now. So.
Oh.
And Ricari has it on his Xbox, so it is coming out.
So I guess it's slowly rolling out, because I haven't seen any new...
Yeah, I can't even get Waypoint to load.
It loaded for me, it just took a long time to load.
Well, I can't get my messages to load, so... It's like, okay.
They are definitely overloaded. This is definitely a stress test.
Well, for this definitely weekend.
Got my key.
Definitely stressing the servers, that's for sure. But yeah, the showcase of the Xbox One's gameplay was just, it was awesome. I mean, it looked good. It ran smooth. Yes, it ran at a lower frame rate, which you know, frame rate costs a lot when you come to computing capacity. You know, yep. That's what's going to hit CPUs hard is that frame rate, the CPUs and the GPUs. Yep. So the fact that it ran so smoothly in what they showed, it impressed me very much.
Yeah, that's great. I think first impressions for me was just how smooth everything seemed to run. There wasn't, from what we saw, not a lot of issues, not a lot of like bugs that they actively ran into when they were at least showing it off, which, I mean, on the blog post they posted, they said that there's plenty of issues plaguing the game, but just from seeing them interact with the weapon drills that they did, and then the like showing off the full gameplay, it was actually nice to see, no offense to like other people at the studio, but competent gameplay in that full gameplay that we got to see on Livefire. So that was nice. Getting to see a little bit of what arena and competitive play will actually look like. So that was it for me, pretty much. So let's dive a little bit into this blog and the video stream that we had yesterday. So there was about an hour and a half stream that Sketch hosted. They had a few folks on talking about different aspects of the flight and what's happening this weekend. Pretty much 4v4, so it's four players versus four bots is going to be the arena. And then we also have the weapon drills, which is kind of a new, like a training ground type of thing where you can go in and practice your weapon aiming and actually go up against the bots that have, looks like maybe either pre-scripted or at least pre-behavioral movement. And it sounds like what they said too is that the bots will move based on the weapon that you're holding. So it'll actually train you on how to best use the weapon that you're currently training with. So that was kind of cool too. And then there was also the new waypoint apparently that's coming. So apparently there's an app and a new website. So that'll be interesting to see how that all plays into it. And then there's, I guess, some internal goals as well that they're trying to hit. They mentioned that if there's a certain amount of people on and playing games, and if they get to a certain point, that they'll actually unlock 4v4 PvP. So that kind of was a little interesting on why they wouldn't throw 4v4 PvP in the beginning. But they said that their explanation was they can get more games if it's four players versus four bots, and then it helps them stress test their servers a bit more too. So, we'll have to see. But what are you guys' thoughts on the weapon drills? I think it's a very interesting addition. Kind of reminds me of Titanfall a little bit.
Until Halo 5, I never felt like Halo was complicated. So I'm kind of curious as what information or data they saw that felt this was something that was needed. Like, if it was a mini game that they wanted to add in, you know, just like an extra little fun experience, sure. Which they definitely added like mini game features like high score and things like that. But as the pitch has been that, you know, to help ramp people into multiplayer, you know, that and the bots, I'm scratching my head a little bit. Granted, I've been playing this game for 20 years now, or this franchise.
Yep.
But I've never felt like it was a complicated game to understand and kind of wrap your head around after a few hours of playing. So I think it's cool. I'm glad they added little mini game features to it to kind of draw the interest. I'd be really curious after like 3 months to see how many players are actually going in there on a consistent basis. I mean, cool, looks fun, good way to test guns, especially if they add new weapons, as they've said, could very well be happening, which I expect will happen. It's a good way to kind of at least test it before you just, you know, pick up a gun in the game.
Sure.
And try and fire it, and you're like, wait, I have to hold the trigger.
Well, and something else that we had talked about before we actually started the podcast is you mentioned looking at the skewer and seeing how it looks like it was difficult to use. Well, maybe weapon drills is something that you can kind of learn how you actually use something like that. And then looks like there's a fair amount of new weapons in the game as well. So it's a way for us to kind of pick up those weapons without having to sacrifice an arena game to figure them out. Or custom
that
game.
That bouncy Forerunner, not Promethean, shotgun thing, that will be an interesting gun to see used within the sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. Interesting that it has like a vertical fire mode and then a horizontal fire mode. That was kind of unexpected a little bit, actually. So, we'll have to see.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to the weapon drills. It, as somebody that sucks at Halo.
I mean, I'm right there with you.
You know, everybody says, well, just jump into a game of Octagon. I suck at Octagon. Because everybody else kills me before I get a chance to shoot them. You know, Octagon's great when you have a group of people that are relatively the same skill. That's fine. And people that are very familiar with the use of a sniper rifle and or whatever weapon you decide to put in there. The weapon drills, yes, they probably will have a limited, you know, a limited time frame where they're popular, but it's a good place for new players to Halo. Yes, Halo is easy to pick up, but it's hard to master. I mean, think about it. Haas, are you ready to go against Snipe Down?
I mean, I'll do it.
You'll do it, but what's going to happen?
I know the result. I know the result, but also I don't.
And I'm not saying that this is going to make you a pro player, but it can shorten that gap where you're familiar with what the weapons do, how they work, and it gets you kind of familiar with the feel and some of the movement of Halo. By no means is it going to make you a master. The only way you can learn that stuff is be in actual games, but it just takes the edge off. And I'm not saying it's a replacement for playing Arena or playing BTB or, you know, doing Octagon, but it's a good way for someone to work on skills without just being annihilated by somebody that's four times as good as they are. You know, that's a problem with a connection-based matchmaking, you know, where it prioritizes connection over everything else, is you get a great connection to the game, but there's always going to be one person there that's going to wipe the floor with you or make it not fun to play the game because you spawn, die, spawn, die, spawn, die, because that other person has memorized the entire spawn map of the game because they live, eat, and breathe Halo, and they play it 20 hours a day. Where you got me, where, you know, I'm lucky if I can get 2 hours in a day. And that's,
I think for like new people, it takes out those extra variables of what happens in matchmaking and what can happen in custom games, basically along the lines of what you're saying, GT, and strictly being able to focus on your weapon skill.
Yeah, is it an end-all be-all Halo trainer? No.
What'd be cool is like as you're waiting for matchmaking to start up or something, that you could maybe go into one of these weapon drills, and then when your game's ready.
That would be cool. Mm-hmm. Like in Rocket League, you can go into like an arena with a ball and just drive and fly around and kind of just get your bearings about you while you wait for your matchmaking match to connect.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Maybe we ought to send it to them.
That'd be a cool idea.
Yeah. I definitely see it as, and Rage in the chat kind of touched on this, probably use it as something at the very beginning to kind of get used to the new weapons and try to figure out how they work to some degree. But then once I have the hang of it, I doubt I would go back into weapon drills. So it definitely seems like one of those features of, it's definitely a nice forethought, I think, of like being able to bring in new people and kind of even further lower that barrier to entry to play. But it's not going to be a feature that's heavily utilized about the life of Halo, but definitely as people.
Well, I'm kind of wondering how many times people will jump into weapon drills just to warm up before matches.
That's another good,
you know, just kind of get the joints moving, get your mind in the right frame, get in the right frame of mind.
They were showing with the highest difficulty. I could see like a common player maybe dipping their toe in every once in a while. I think, like, the player that's on there daily, I don't expect to see them using that much long term.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, that's for a long term player, that's the only real use I can think that it would, a weapon drill would be. It just kind of, you know, get warmed up for the day before they jump into matchmaking.
That's, yeah, I didn't even think about that, but that's a very good use case instead of having to do Octagon with someone else. And if you just want to warm up, like, strictly your weapon skills and not fighting against someone else, then yeah, that's a perfect way to go in and actually do something. So yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, well, time will tell how they use it. But, you know, it's definitely not a set thing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to playing with it. I'm looking forward to, mainly to work on sniping.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get better at sniping. I'd like to get better at using the shotgun, especially with the slide. So, you know, going into, you know, a 1v1 bot match or a 1v2 bot match or something like that, that is something you can work on, you know, and that's, you know, another part of that academy thing is the bot matches. So you can go, you know, you can work on a skill, you know, against a bot, and then it gives you a better idea of how to do it in matchmaking.
Yeah.
And, you know, really refine it in matchmaking. You know, you get the muscle memory down in a bot match. Well, then you go into matchmaking and then you can really fine tune that skill.
Yeah, it gives you an option to actually hone the weapon skill itself and not combat with other variables. So, yeah, certainly. Looks like Sketch did put out a tweet saying that the flight is rolling out slowly for folks. So waypoint messages are taking a while to come out, but they are on the way, what it looks like.
I got my download at 10 of 16 gigs.
Wow.
We're flying.
Nice. I'm still waiting for that message.
She tweeted a direct link. Just give it time and scroll down to the bottom and your code will be there.
Ooh.
Rather than going to Halo Waypoint or HaloInsider.com. It's like kind of like you're bypassing a couple clicks because the website is hammered right now. So
they're definitely going to have to.
I can't imagine that.
It's a little bit of a shortcut. I don't know why. I mean, nobody wants to play.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to play this game called Infinite. Halo Infinite. I don't think anybody's interested in it.
Well,
hell, the direct link won't even load.
Yeah, mine was a blank white page for about 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden it loaded. I scrolled down to the My Flight section, and there it was. And I just copy and pasted that code, and I was like, okay, we're done.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I'll wait until after the podcast is over because I'm already having enough issues.
I've got 500 up and down. I'll risk it. I'll risk it for the biscuit.
Well, I don't have any problem with the bandwidth. I'm just, my computer's been doing stupid stuff tonight, and I don't know why.
Yep. That link is certainly taking a while to load. Are there Xbox and PC instructions on there, or just PC, or have you actually seen
mine? I got a Steam code, so it just says my Steam key, and I copy and pasted it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious which one I got invited to.
Yeah, because the email didn't say. It wasn't very specific.
Yeah, it wasn't specific. Yeah,
I unopted from console because I was like, I need to play this. Where and how I know I will be playing this game.
I need to get better with my keyboard.
I opted in for both because I tend to bounce back and forth. And I actually picked up a Xbox One S. I actually picked up a couple of them. And I want to see how it plays on that, too. I had to replace my Halo 5 Xbox. Died.
Aww. Rip.
I couldn't watch TV in my bedroom no more. Oh, anyway. So I picked up, you know, I picked up a couple of just the all digital editions of the Xbox S or Xbox One S, not the Series S. Those are unicorns right now. So I plan on trying it on the S, the X, and on PC if I get invited to both.
Nice. I think I'm primarily going to be doing PC because that's probably what I'll play on. I need to get better at mouse and keyboard.
Yep, I was playing MCC on mouse and keyboard today, strictly just to kind of get the Halo feel of mouse and keyboard. And I'm hoping Infinite just feels a little bit more natural than these games, obviously, because they were all built for controller.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very curious to see how Infinite is going to play with mouse and keyboard. I don't know if you guys saw yesterday, like there's a mouse and keyboard aim assist in their settings menu, which I am very, very curious what that means. I guess Destiny has that, but I have no knowledge or understanding of it. So I'm curious.
It is a very, very slight drag.
Oh.
I mean, if you're not paying attention, you will miss it on M&K, on Destiny at least. I don't know how strong it will be on Infinite, but I do hope that it's just very, very light with the precision that a mouse gives a player.
So if you go to your Xbox Insider Hub app on your Xbox, you can actually join the Halo Insider flight that way.
If you got in through the Xbox, not.
I guess I got in through Xbox then, because I just found it, and I just clicked join, and now I'm getting the spinning circle of death. No, G. Lewis, it's all Slipspace Engine. There's nothing unreal about Infinite. I'm not sure where you heard that.
Yeah, Unreal was used for the MCC menus. That's all they use that for. Okay, right. I got the page to load. Now I'm trying to log in.
My page still hasn't loaded yet.
Anyway,
in time.
It's going to be interesting, and I'm really looking forward to it. I want to try to play it in as many ways as I can.
Yep.
You know, just to see the differences. So I might even put it on my OG Xbox One, my day one edition.
I got a 500.
And see if I can't fry the CPU in it too.
I still have my Halo 5 Xbox, which is technically a Halo Xbox OG class.
Mm-hmm.
So I could try to load it up on there and see how it fares. And then I have an Xbox One X, not a Series X, but a One X as well that I could try it on. Anyway, so while everyone else is trying to download this thing, so that was Weapon Drills. We've also got the Arena Bot. Sounds like four players, four bots. First mm-hmm. time bots wow. is officially supported in Halo. We've seen bots modded into Halo, but actually being an official thing.
I mean, we had bots in Halo 5 Forza.
Yeah. I wouldn't exactly call them bots.
Yeah,
I guess you could, technically,
yeah. But as far as like directly meant to be a replacement of actual players, bots.
Yeah. I wonder if they're using like the Forza AI learning thing, the Drivatar system. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're using a version of that tech for this, because they did say they wanted it to replicate player behavior. So I'm wondering if these bots are going to evolve over time, and that'd be really cool. I don't know if you guys have messed with that, especially in the motorsport games.
Yeah, where it's I've played with it in Forza. They get
very aggressive.
Oh yeah,
and very like if you understand racing, they race you hard. And
they will not hesitate to put you in the ditch.
They're right. They'll let you know.
So G. Lewis said Nated is destroying people right now. Nated's only playing against bots, G. Lewis, because
on medium difficulty.
Yeah. People playing and streaming are only playing against bots right now. No one's playing against actual other people right now.
At best, we get that later this week. And
you know, I kind of wonder how much of this is them trying to train the bots.
Oh.
I mean, I know they're doing the network test and they're checking all the hardware and the software, make sure all that is. But I wonder how much of this data is going to go into refining the bots.
That's not a bad point. Oh, that's wow. You bring up a very good point.
I mean, if the bots are actually, you know, a form of AI.
Yeah.
You know, a learning program. What better way to teach them than put them up against native?
No, you make a very good point. Hmm. Did not think about that, but you may very well be right on that. Okay.
I also want to kind of note the multiplayer looks more in line with the visuals of last year's Xbox showcase than it did for what we saw during this year's E3. Like, there's still polish improvements, but the overall visuals seem very closer to last year than they did this year. Just watching it right now, like, live and in action.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad, especially for multiplayer, because I'm cool with multiplayer kind of getting toned down to allow for better performance. Just a quick glance, but this is also stream quality, not me playing it or watching a 4K video on demand, so there's a lot of compression that could be taken away from that, but just someone.
So are you saying that just like the fidelity, or just like the actual graphical texture? Like
the texture just seems more flat.
Okay.
Like, not, I don't know how to properly describe last year's. Like, there was detail last year, but it wasn't like a ton of depth to it. It didn't look next gen.
So they did say that this build was forked off about two months ago. So if they had a more recent build that may have more polish in it for the E3 demo, there might be a little discrepancy there. Depends on the point. They did
say the graphics are not polished. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, everything in this game is still kind of...
Yeah. WIP.
Yep. And this, they're pretty explicit to say this is not a beta. This is a technical preview, which means there's still a lot of things that they're trying to get fixed. And
which today I learned what the difference was.
There you go. So
did you want to share?
So it is beyond alpha.
Not quite a beta.
But not quite a beta. I can read you the entire description if you'd like.
Is this off the tech preview blog?
It's about 5 paragraphs. Yep.
Sure, go for it.
All right. What is in a name? Quite a lot, as it turns out. Different games across the industry and even Halo games over the years have had all sorts of pre-launch hands-on releases and tests that carry various official labels. Terms like alpha and beta often convey a certain expectation around polish and stability, breadth and marketing implications, and more. We're further along than we would be truly considered an alpha, but also not really at the level of overall completeness some expect in a beta. We are specifically calling it a technical preview because we feel it is best represents the goals we have, the build itself, and the experience that the insiders will have. As you all read below, our key driver and the goal is truly technical in nature. We are looking to push our systems and services at a large scale, and we've been able to thus far as an important step towards ensuring we are ready as possible when the floodgates fully open at launch this holiday. Feedback and other insights are certainly valuable, but first and foremost, we are testing and stressing the technical side of Halo Infinite. I'll just stop there, because the other 3 paragraphs just kind of go a little bit more underground.
Sure.
I think that kind of gives you the gist.
I got my email.
I just got mine too.
Head to Halo Waypoint. Yeah, because that's not working right now.
And it still doesn't tell me which flight I'm in.
It just says head to Halo. Is it? It's
head to Halo.
It almost looks like the exact same email, just a little bit different.
Pretty close. Yeah, I'm trying to load the Insider Hub right now, and it's just like
yeah. Everything is getting slammed.
Hey, there we go. My flights.
Everything is getting slammed.
July tech preview.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like I've been chosen for Xbox.
Anyways.
See what kind of viewership Halo Infinite has right now. 35K.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah. Although a lot of people are playing like MCC or Halo 5 with the Halo Infinite tag on there.
Well, the most...
No, they wouldn't do that, would they?
The top streams are all Infinite right now.
Okay.
Down into 44 viewers is the first MCC.
Okay. So that, I mean, at least sounds like there's a decent amount of people that are finally getting into play.
Yeah.
That's well, good.
We'll probably be playing it tomorrow for Fraggin' Friday, because I think a fair amount of folks I've seen have gotten an invite to the Insider. I'll leave that up to GT for the firm answer on that, but I'm assuming that's probably what will happen.
That's what I got planned.
Cool. So no poll tomorrow that I have to worry about. Yes.
I'm sure we could probably run multiple lobbies.
If we need to do that, then I guess I'll put a message in the Discord and see if people want to have multiple lobbies going.
Well, I mean multiple infinite lobbies.
Oh.
Oh, since, yeah. You know, we can only have four people.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that direct link that Sam listed in her tweet, yeah, that's also erroring out for me.
it's fried.
Yeah, they did not plan for the absolute flood of people coming in.
I mean, the anticipation kept building all day. So
I think they would have figured out, hey, we might want to bump up these servers here. It's like every AAA launch, the servers can't handle the initial load.
Yeah, it just...
Well, like, let's let it this way. It gives them the information they need.
But then, do we hold their feet more to the fire at actual
launch? Oh, yes, most definitely.
Is a question. They or, need do we, to fi- or do we if, give them if a pass they, because
if they don't
everybody
learn
in the
from
this,
then it, that's on them.
Well, and this is just people that have actively signed up for the flight.
Right. And this ought to give them a hint as to how hard the servers are going to get hit when Infinite launches.
Yeah.
I really hope that they offer pre-downloads.
I'd be very surprised if they
didn't. Like a week out?
Oh, yeah.
Not like the night before?
Yeah, I would anticipate at least a week out. Well, I bet. Seeing how Xbox has been doing it, I mean, I could already install Forza Horizon 5 pre-install, which isn't coming out until October or early November.
Mm-hmm.
So I anticipate you'll be able to at least download some core element of it quite early on once they kind of have a more solidified date.
Probably.
Yeah, they'll probably announce that once the game actually goes to, well, it goes gold, whatever they call it.
Yeah, gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when they actually start pressing discs, then they'll probably announce.
Yeah, but games going gold doesn't really mean gold anymore.
No, it doesn't.
It means enough to ship enough data so when we give you the day one update, it's obsolete. I mean, how many games these days ship with a day one update? Especially all the big ones.
Every one that I've purchased in
the
last, I don't know, 5 years.
So what's the point in releasing a gold disc? If there's going to be a day one update, why not just wait for the game to come out, release the disc a couple months later for those that want an actual physical copy?
Yeah, but then the people that actually want discs that want to play off the disc and don't want to download it, can't play the game.
But you're going to have to, for online, you're going to have to download a huge update anyway. So you're going to have to be connected to the internet.
Like I said.
And like when you install a game on Xbox, now I don't think it installs from the disc anymore. It downloads it. All the disc is a license
is key. Is the key.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure there's still actual data on the disc. I don't think it's a complete download. Don't get me wrong. It's especially in the case of MCC, it's a sizable download.
Yeah.
Yeah, discs don't mean what they used to.
They really don't. I mean, in today's connected age, I get that where discs are helpful, especially in rural areas where you don't have good internet, like it makes sense. But it's just even more of a hit when someone expects a disc to like be able to install it, but it just redirects you to download the entire game with patches and everything. So if all your disc is a license key,
Well, most likely what the disc is going to be is probably the campaign. And seeing that you have to be connected to internet to play multiplayer, you'll probably download the multiplayer.
I mean, I would because say that's fine.
We are kind of blessed here. Most internet services don't have data caps, but there's a lot of countries around the world where you're capped on the amount of data you can download per month.
Yeah.
I pay an extra $30 to avoid that.
Yeah.
Verizon doesn't have data caps. They'll restrict your data on certain plans, but they don't have data caps, I think, across all their plans, I think. Gosh, Mint Blitz just hopped on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Snipedown's got 11K right now.
Dang.
So people are definitely interested in watching. That is...
Oh, my message on Waypoint finally popped in. Oh, and I clicked on it and it said something went wrong.
You've got mail.
Yeah, my message on Waypoint still hasn't showed up.
I clicked on messages and it just did not happen.
Matter of fact, it won't even load the old messages.
I got the notification that I have a message.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got that too.
Half of this podcast is us live timing, checking out if we can download the build or not.
Can we yet?
Right.
Now?
Yeah.
So did you guys notice anything while we all wait?
Mm-hmm.
Or while you two wait? Did you guys notice anything in the gameplay that has changed or from previous Halo titles or previous Halo gameplay, Halo Infinite gameplay things? Have you noticed any differences that stood out to you at all?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't really watch too much of the gameplay yesterday or the stream because I was moderating the Twitch chat and the YouTube chat. And of course, Halo stream chats are always horrendous. So
I was at work, so
I didn't get to catch too much of the details. I only really caught what I was able to hear. But I know from watching some of the previous stuff, like the Xbox showcase, how like Sprint seems to be not really as beneficial. Like there's not a lot of speed boost that you get from Sprint, it seems like. So
no, not at all. I almost just feel like they threw that animation in there to please the "we want Sprint" argument.
I'm hoping there's still a strategic point to it. Like, why would you add Sprint just to get such a tiny speed boost without there actually being some kind of benefit to using it?
It, like, I would liken it to other games where you can sprint, but if you put your weapon down, you run just a smidge faster. I know that's like a big deal in Apex. But it's so weird because even the ADS timing of bringing your gun back to ready, it is instant. Like it's like almost the animation just snaps. It doesn't even like do a full animation to getting your gun back into the ready position. So I'm really curious what the objective is for them with Sprint. Like, what are we going to be able to do as a player with Sprint rather than not sprinting at all?
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully we'll find out this weekend to see kind of what the general idea is with how it impacts.
I kind of want to have a race, you know, me and one of my fire team, to sprint across the map, one walk, one sprint, and just really see how big of a boost that is in timing.
Bobby makes an interesting point. From the Halo 5 beta, which had a longer wind-up time to full sprint, they changed it to a quicker rev-up speed and a lower top speed. So things could change based on feedback from this preview, this technical preview. So something to consider as well, that there may be, like, if there's a large community feedback on specific elements of the game, they're probably going to make changes to those elements.
Yeah. I think they did make note that a lot of the tuning and everything that we are going to be experiencing this weekend is pretty final for launch, but the feedback definitely is going to be noted and worked on for updates down the road. So.
Yeah.
That is something to keep in mind for those out there who really hate something. Just make sure you give
your feedback.
The feedback in the proper channels.
Yep. When you're actually able to go and load into the tech preview blog post that they posted yesterday, there is actual feedback threads for 5 different pieces of the flight. So on both Steam and Waypoint, there's a feedback forum for Bot Slayer, weapon drills, UI feedback, PC feedback, and Xbox feedback. Which I'm surprised there's an Xbox feedback on Steam. But anyways. Anything else regarding the arena bot slayer?
Well, you know, to continue what Haas was saying about Sprint, it looks like they've changed the recharge timing on your shields with Sprint too.
They also changed the animation for shield recharging.
Yeah, I'm sitting here watching it, and it looks like the shield recharge, it doesn't look like sprinting affects it like it did in Halo 5.
Yeah.
It was hard to tell, but it looked like it recharges, but maybe at a slower rate when you are sprinting.
Like I said, it's not the same as what it is in Halo 5.
Let's go, Shyway.
Someone will time it and see what the difference is for probably all those different facets of like sprinting and shield recharge and all that stuff. So customization was another topic that they touched on, and there's a whole system around armor customization and different pieces that they're introducing, along with like the personalized AI stuff and the like the robotic arms and legs. And then they talked about like base armor classes, and then the other like the fracture type stuff as well. What are your guys' thoughts on? I guess let's start with just I'm going to call it the basic customization, but like without the fracture stuff. Like what we kind of get. What's more typical Halo out of the box type of customization?
It's kind of interesting for me because they talked about Halo Reach type of customization previously. So I think my mind instantly went to Halo Reach and, you know, left shoulder, right shoulder, arm, legs, you know, the whole works. But now we're seeing, yeah, you'll be able to do that, but it's all going to be dependent on your Spartan's core.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, so I only will have certain options available to me per core. So right now I feel like I'm not getting Reach levels of customization. However, when the whole box is open, I'm sure that mood will change. But at first glimpse, I'm kind of just like, I don't know how I really feel about this system. Like, does this truly create a diverse group of Spartans that, like, I can look at your Spartans and be like, that's Dust, that's Godzilla's Spartan, and this is my Spartan? Or am I going to be like, oh, that looks just like Dust's Spartan when I'm playing a random 4v4 match, you know?
I think it's gotten harder to really see that because, like, in a way, I think almost Halo 3 and Halo Reach a little bit were probably the pinnacle of player identity and it being clearly like someone's character because of just, I think, how pronounced and how bold some of the coloring was and the different shapes. And it was, there are fewer shapes too that you didn't have to necessarily get lost in, but just how many different customizations there are, I think that kind of, at least in my opinion, kind of overwhelms, so you don't really know what to pay attention to. To know if it's like, I think emblem might be the closest thing that you can quickly glance at and get a sense of, like, if I see an emblem, I know Ducat with his certain colors is Duquesne. Like, yep. I know that one, but for armor, I'm probably not going to have any freaking idea. Depending on how many options
there are. I'm hoping the emblem system kind of comes back to more traditional sense. I know they mentioned nameplates are returning, which I'm all for. Mm-hmm. I just hope I hope the emblem creator one isn't an unlock. You know, maybe a couple special ones hidden between campaign or, you know, certain achievements. But I really do hope we can get our, that was one thing that kind of upset me, is like I couldn't have my emblem for so long in Halo 5 until I randomly unlocked it. So I'm hoping that is something that is has been properly given as feedback and addressed within Halo Infinite. But I guess we will see. I didn't see anything for emblems in yesterday's preview.
Yeah, I don't think they covered emblems at all.
Yeah. pretty much just armor customization. They touched on the AI stuff a little bit and the nameplates, which is going to be a fire unicorn or yeah, the fire unicorn or no, it's ice unicorn and fire. What is it? Whatever the fire thing one is, they're going to have that system continue on through to Halo Infinite. So that's kind of cool. So this Fractures idea of having these kind of, I guess, like out of universe type of armor customization. I'll admit I'm not too thrilled with that. I mean, I could see there's probably like, I just think of the crossover stuff that Fortnite's been able to do with so many different, IPs that it makes sense on why Halo would do something like this. For me, it just kind of takes me out of the element a little bit, I think.
I am in full support of it, personally. Like, we had Emil and Kat in Gears 5 as characters. So imagine some of the Gears soldiers.
Coltrane, baby!
Helmets and kind of like, yeah, it probably won't be them because of the helmet. But, you know, seeing other Xbox properties. Now, Doom, I know a lot of people are like, Doom, Halo, Master Chief crossover, when? So I think multiplayer needs to kind of get back to having a little bit fun and not being like this simulation combat battle on the UNSC Infinity. You know, I'm kind of ready for multiplayer to take kind of like a half step back from lore and being more about just fun multiplayer Spartan versus Spartan action again. I get what you're saying, being kind of pulled out, but in Gears, I didn't ever feel pulled out when I saw Kat or Emil on there, because you can kind of tweak the aesthetic just enough to kind of fit what you're already playing. And kind of same thing with, you know, Fortnite, when I see Batman running across the map and then right behind John Wick and then Master Chief and Kratos all hopping across the field, they feel like they fit. And so as long as Halo can, or 343 can accomplish that, making these Fractures fit, I'm cool with it.
Okay.
I want my Gumby Fracture.
Hell yeah.
Gumby? How about Gumby for an AI?
Ooh, that'd be fun.
No, I want to run across the map looking like a clay man.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, what are some really cool AIs in the world that we've grown up with, like in sci-fi and stuff, that
Hal
could be cool little companions?
Ooh, Hal, that would be good.
Outside of Halo,
Hal,
2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah, I've never seen it either, but I know what it is.
Good morning, Dave. And Penn's left and missed it. Oh well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said BRB.
Good. 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 He'll still like me.
Oh nope, he's here. Ah, he caught it. He caught you.
He knows Tom Petty, but not 2001 A Space Odyssey?
Right. Right. Haas, I think you downloading or?
No, nothing. I'm just chilling.
Your video is lagging in for some reason.
Yeah, I'm noticing. I'm noticing that a little bit.
Yeah. Probably wife's on the Netflix.
With five different TVs are probably streaming upstairs or something.
Probably. Y'all are killing me, Smalls. Oh, jeez. There's a lot of different things that you could probably do Clippy.
Yeah.
That'd actually be kind of funny. Definitely.
I think that would be kind of cool.
Paperclip running across the field.
Just a giant paperclip. Yeah. So let's see. What else? So Social Arena, they said, would be conditional for this flight. They haven't said specifically what the threshold is for when they would actually kick that on, but it sounds like once they hit a certain threshold of, I guess, games played or players online, then they'll open actual 4v4 PvP. There's a whole bunch of bugs that they're tracking as well, so you might load into a game that's 4v3. It looks like there is a joint in progress that's happening, so that'll kind of help fill in some gaps as well. There's different crash scenarios. There's different timing out of matchmaking. So this is very much a buggy build, so you will undoubtedly run into issues while you're in this. So just go into this weekend not expecting things to work 100%, because things are not going to work 100%. Melee attacks won't necessarily register all the time.
So average.
Like melees. Just random parts of the game will just not work when you expect them to work. So if you run across one of those, you don't necessarily need to report that. Obviously, if something's a known issue to them, they don't need to know about it. They know it's an issue. They're looking for issues that are not listed in their known issues article, so they can get these other issues captured and fixed before the game launches. So, definitely be proactive in trying to provide that feedback, but don't inundate them with needless tickets if they're already aware of something is an issue.
I think there are as many people streaming, they're downloading the game as they're playing the game.
Wait, say that again?
I've been just scrolling through the Halo Infinite streams, and it seems like there's as many of them just streaming them downloading it as they are playing it.
Oh. Probably. So there are three play sessions for this weekend. Sorry, six. Wow, I need to count. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there are play sessions from 12 to 2 Pacific time and 7 to 9 Pacific time. That doesn't mean that you can only play the game during those time windows. You can still go into matchmaking whenever you want, but that's when they're wanting people to hop on and really stress test the matchmaking server. So if you really want to help out, then try to get into a couple of those play session times and help them really stress test how matchmaking is going to behave. I guess the last thing to really talk about is things we noticed in the gameplay from what we got to see yesterday. I know, Haas, you had noticed some things as you were going through the video. So why don't you kind of talk about some of the things that you noticed?
So first things first, I noticed the shield recharge animation is different, where originally we saw Master Chief, it kind of like had a gold hexagon, maybe yellowish blinding effect, really. That seems to be removed, and now it's, as your shield recharges, like a really thin blue, like whoop, kind of goes over your screen. It's like your visor is getting cleaned almost. So I did notice that. Then also I noticed at, I think it was like 24 into the full stream, the player runs over plasma grenades, and there's a whole B to pick up plasma grenades. But earlier in the match, when he had his frags equipped, that option never showed up. So I'm curious if frag grenades are going to be your primary default grenade. And then, yeah, so the prompt, Bobby's saying it was only there when he had the spike grenades equipped. So I'm curious if frag grenades are your default, but then you can only have the secondary spike plasma, and if there's any others that we come to find out later in the road. But yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. So maybe you can swap out your secondary grenade, or when you have two different types of grenades, you can swap one of them out.
Yeah, so it almost sounds like, based on what you're saying there, Haas, that we only get to carry two different types of grenades.
And it looks like two of each.
Yeah. Which has been pretty standard since Halo 3?
Reach.
I think Halo 3 was three grenades.
Halo 3 Reach you carry four grenades. Four types of grenades, two apiece.
I mean, like, how many four of one types type of
grenades, but
is what I'm yeah. meant to say. At least in, like, matchmaking.
But I really...
Like, you could...
ODST was three grenades.
Because, like, in custom games, you could have, like, I think maybe, like, either four or six grenades in Halo 3, and then, like, Reach, I think you have, like, six or something. But, like, in matchmaking, the max that you could have was, like, two, I think. It was nice to actually see competent gameplay. Yeah. Oh, I just noticed something else. There's callouts.
You can mark You also can mark location.
Yeah, there's the ping system now. Yep.
There's like a ping system.
So you no longer have to say on my X. You can just ping it.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, if you're dead, I don't know if you can ping. But
before you actually.
Yeah. Spam it before you die.
That I didn't notice that before, but that could be something. It was nice to actually see good gameplay.
Yeah. And not a sizzle reel for sure.
Yeah. And I see what you mean by it kind of looks like the shield recharges like a wipe up over the visor.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's nice. And what else did you see out there, Haas?
That was my two key things.
Okay.
Weapons seem a little bit harder to aim, but that could have been player. It seemed like the aim assist was definitely lower than what we've seen in previous Halo games. But then when he shot the plasma pistol, that tracking was kind of interesting. But I think I understand that. I think the guy moving behind the shield, the plasma pistol just kind of arc to the player that wasn't covered behind the shield, but we'll see. That could have easily just been a bug or something like that.
Yeah. I will say, like, watching the gameplay, it seemed like the friend or foe system that they have in this build, I guess it not as much more of a concern, because like one of the big things that I think we talked about on here is like, how is it going to be with like everyone having their own armor colors and like being able to tell different players apart, but the actual outline system and like it looks like there's a bit of an overlay color. I mean, it seemed to work, but it'll definitely be interesting to actually get hands on and see how it feels. But
yeah, I feel pretty ready for that. Just from
I think I'm okay with
game
it.
That isn't Halo,
based on what I've seen from yesterday.
I've been pretty well trained at this point to know what that's going to feel like, so we'll see.
Yeah,
I don't think it will be a big issue.
Yeah, well, it'll be once we actually get in and can play, it'll be interesting to see. I will say it you can't really see the armor detail to really know who you are like fighting at a glance. It seems like it, so it basically seems like it's just completely highlighting or outlining in red who your opponents are. So unless you're standing in direct light or something, you're not going to exactly know who you're shooting specifically, just maybe a general color. Maybe, again, have to kind of get into actually playing the game to see how it feels and how it works. But I don't feel quite as apprehensive now with at least the whole, like, there's not exactly any more red versus blue. Does make me wonder how they're going to treat it for ACS, though.
I think it's just going to be what we're seeing.
That's going to confuse the heck out of spectators, because both teams are going to be switching to are going to be blue team.
If you recall to the last blog from Tashi on the ACS side, and them working with orgs, they did say orgs are going to be able to make skins and content easier to submit. And they have partnered ones that will have day one content available. So what I'm thinking is some of these teams, say like an Optic, an Envy, who else is in there? Cloud9. So I'm assuming they're going to have team skins. And then for the HCS side, those teams are going to have to rock those skins, as we're seeing in the Call of Duty League right now. But then for like the teams that aren't maybe the partnered organizations, they may have to just stick with the default kind of skin, or maybe they'll have a special rule set. But I think that's what we're going to see. If I had to predict, that'd be my guess.
I guess I'm just thinking, if you have those skins, I mean, someone else could have a skin that's very similar in color or appearance.
Yeah. HCS Pro Talk just tweeted out a picture, actually, of the shop. and there's a visit the Halo Championship Series store HCS offer. So they went to the shop page. So there's HCS Pro Talk on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
They have like a couple weapon skin packs that are, you know, certain colors. So they do the purple, the blue, the green, you know, tiered white. But then there is a visit the Halo Championship Series store. So there will definitely be HCS items in that store right away.
Okay. Guess what? I finally got my Steam code.
Yay! Woo!
Going to redeem it now. Yes. Ha ha. All right. Downloading now. Hey.
While streaming. Cool. Way to go, Dust.
I have 400 up, 400 down. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. All right. GT, did you, anything you noticed in the gameplay that you want to
bring up or mention? Well, I mentioned what I saw about the shields. I noticed kind of a different path to the frag grenades. They don't seem to float the same.
Yeah, they kind of like mm-hmm. squibble.
Squibble.
Like they don't have like a...
They have a pretty flat trajectory, is what I'm saying. They just, you know...
But like it like spins in a weird yeah. way.
Oh.
It just... It's almost like you don't get it as much distance. It reminds me of ODST. But it could just be the way
they're ODST thrown. Just it reminds blocked. Me of ODST.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of reminds me of that.
Okay, I'm watching the grenade segment. Actually, it looks... I mean,
it's one of those things, you know, I won't know until I actually get to play with them and see what kind of arc that you can get out of them. They seem to have a pretty good blast pattern. The thump they make is kind of neat. Let's see what else. I do, from what I've seen from the, you know, friend or foe marking system, I like it so far. But that's one of those deals I can't really form an opinion until I'm actually looking at it. One thing looking at it, right. Gameplay, it's another thing when you're the one playing the game. You know, it's how noticeable is it while you're playing?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. And I'm thinking there, depending on the FOV, that could kind of influence on how it looks too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looks like it's a pretty direct throw. Which isn't that kind of how Halo 3 used to do it? Like it was a pretty straight throw in Halo 3, which I actually kind of prefer because despite Halo 3 not being my favorite multiplayer, I could stick the living daylights out of people in Halo 3. Like that was my game where I could actually stick people.
Yeah, I seem to remember a cross map stick on Valhalla on a particular game night.
I need to get my hands on this game.
Well, I think we've covered the stream and the tech blog through and through at this point. So
I definitely think next week may have to happen just so we can really divulge on hands-on experience if
yeah.
it's possible.
Yeah, I think we can definitely do it. So, all right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for the show tonight. I'm going to get this out here actually tomorrow. So this is actually kind of hitting people before the end of the weekend is actually over. But in the meantime, feel free to check us out. We will be streaming this. If you're listening to the download version of this before we're streaming, then we're going to be streaming on Friday on the 30th of July. And we might even throw another stream in there. We might replace Achieving Halo for the Halo Infinite Insider as well, so we'll probably just be trying to play this as much as we can this weekend, to be quite frank. So if you want to join us and party up with us, we might be doing multiple lobbies tomorrow, so head on over to Waypoint when it decides to load, get your Steam key, get your Xbox download, join us up tomorrow for some Halo Inside flighting for Fraggin Friday, and then again on Sunday for Achieving Halo. GT or I might decide to do a stream on Saturday, or Haas, if you want to take the reins on the Pod Tackler stream and do something on Saturday, you're more than happy to as well. So find one of us in Discord, find one of us on Xbox, come play with us. We're going to be trying to play as much as we can of this thing. For those that are listening, thank you for tuning in tonight. You can watch the podcast live on Twitch every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we have Fragment Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, hosted by GT. And then Achieving Halo, which will be Halo Infinite Inside Flighting. But that's normally 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays. We've also got our podcast, which you can download on iTunes, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much anywhere that you can listen to podcasts. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We also have our Discord and our Xbox Club and our Spartan Company, which we are still trying to get some of those Halo 5 company accommodations done. So if you want to help us out with that after the Inside Infinite Flighting is done, then we would certainly appreciate the help. And then you can support the podcast in a number of ways. First and probably easiest is to just share the podcast with friends. Come bring them over either to the live stream or just show them around the Discord, or heck, just send them the link to the podcast. Any kind of help that you can give us by sharing us around would be greatly appreciated. You can also support us monetarily if you choose to do so. You can subscribe to us on Twitch. You can become a Patreon. And we also have Pins, Confel, and Prestige over on Patreon supporting us over there. Prestige is actually going to be on in a couple of weeks to redeem his one of his rewards for being a patron. If you want, you can also donate to us directly by going to podtacular.com/donate if you choose to do so that way. We're all happy that the Infinite Insider Flighting is finally kicking off. We are desperately waiting to get our hands on this thing. I'm downloading. I'm almost done downloading. Probably got another minute or so before I'm fully downloaded. I'm still waiting for my Xbox download, but we hope to see you all on this weekend. Until then, keep on fragging them trucks.